It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. Now, to become certified humane officer in Wisconsin, you must complete a 40-hour course that covers crime scene procedure, rules of evidence, courtroom testimony, and the role of animal investigators, among other things. So this morning, we're learning more about the role of these unique officers in our state. And you can be part of our conversation by calling in with your questions or your thoughts, your experiences, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can always email us anytime, ideas@WPR.org. Joe Good is a Milwaukee trial lawyer and an instructor for the state's Humane Officer Program. And Joe, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Lee. Thanks for having me.
So if I were interested in becoming a humane officer, what sort of prior experience would I need to bring to the table?
Well, actually, you don't have to have any. I think an interest in compassion for animals would start. But every municipality in this state can, and if it wishes to, create a humane officer program, appoint humane officers. And the way you do it is you go through the program with the state, as you described in the intro. Spend a week, take some tests, and then you are a certified officer.
Yeah, humane officer training is a 40-hour course once a year in September. You see 40 hours as sufficient enough to train humane officers?
Well, I would say compared to where we were prior to the enactment of the statute in 1999, the answer would be yes. Obviously, these folks undergo ongoing training, and the idea is to expose them to the various things that they're going to encounter in the field. One of the things to appreciate, Lee, is that the statute, Chapter 173 of our state law, provides not just the certification requirements for humane officers, but the rules for the road, right? So this is dealing with how animals are seized, how they're investigated, if they are seized, how they're maintained in custody, and then ultimately how they're disposed of, you know, in terms of transfers back to owners, transfers to the public, and so on and so forth.
So what's it like to be a humane officer? What's the experience like? Is there no 2 days the same?
Well, and I'm not a humane officer, so I want to be clear about that. I'm a mere trial lawyer from Milwaukee. but I've spent a lot of time with humane officers, and I spent 15 years on the board of directors of an animal shelter up in Madison, the Dane County Humane Society. So I know a little bit about, you know, the experiences these folks go through. And in any given day, this statute is really driving the idea of animal welfare in our state. Okay, the idea is to use some carrot and sticks, right, to ensure that animal cruelty isn't ongoing. If there are issues with the way animals are being treated, humane officers have a toolbox, if you will, to be able to address concerns with animal welfare, using abatement orders, investigating animal complaints, ensuring, you know, the balance is struck between an owner treating an animal a certain way and, you know, the owner's rights vis-a-vis that animal, but also ensuring the animal's safety in the process.
Joe Good, instructor for the state's Humane Officer Program, our guest, and you can call in with your questions or thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. There's one thing that humane officers can't do, Joe, and that's the arrest someone like police officers can. So what's the relationship like between humane officers and police and district attorneys Sure. and the legal system?
Sure. So the statute, Chapter 173, which I referenced earlier, is really designed twofold. It's a certification program for people who are not law enforcement, who want to work in this space to become humane officers. Every municipality in this state, as I said, can appoint a humane officer. They have to go through the program. But as you said, humane officers have limited authority with respect to things. You can't arrest somebody and so forth. The statute speaks, though, directly to law enforcement. In other words, law enforcement officers, they need not go through the certification program, although we spend a lot of time trying to encourage them to do so because animal intake, animal investigations are different than other criminal investigations. So the idea is to get them familiar with that program. But typically, what we see in a lot of communities is humane officers and law enforcement working hand in hand, particularly on more egregious situations.
So what are some of the challenges that we see in terms of determining whether or not a crime has been committed against these animals?
Well, I mean, you know, the largest part of it is being able to get access, right, yeah, to what's going on. Sometimes complaints are drawn from third parties. Sometimes, you know, there might be a situation with a family where one person is reporting abuse. Sometimes they make the radar simply because they're known. We have seen situations, particularly with large-scale hoarding situations, which sometimes we read about in the papers, where things are really getting out of hand. People start to report. Perhaps a file is opened and an investigation is undertaken.
I ask you to put your trial lawyer hat on here, Joe Gooden. From that perspective, are the rules strong enough for the protection of animals in Wisconsin as you see it?
Well, I'm a little bit of a cynic. I do a lot of teaching in this space. And my only reason for that is that I look at this statute and I look at the rules and the idea, the concept of animal control as a public need, no different than picking up the trash, you know, and plowing the streets in the winter. In other words, it's something that every community, every city, every village, every town, every county should embrace. What I have experienced is a broad array of responses to animal control and the need to invest. There's always the resource issue, right? We see this all the time with respect to, you know, the elevation, the triaging of what's a crime. There is data, Lee, national data that suggests that people who are engaged in animal crimes, that there's always an association with other crimes, human crimes and the like. And so one of the things I constantly try to talk about is let's invest more in preserving animal welfare in the state, working on these things to try to make our communities safer.
Joe Good, an instructor for the state's Humane Officer Program, and you can call in with your questions or thoughts at 800-642-1234, where Kathleen in Madison is standing by. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for doing this. It means a lot to me. Recently, I did my estate, and I wanted to donate to this cause, and I don't know where the best money lobbyist or someplace that I could do that would be able to change these type of laws to support against animal cruelty.
Kathleen, it's thank you so much for the question. And Joe, what would you say? How can she donate to help these animals and alleviate their suffering?
Sure. So a couple things. First of all, I think that actually the existing laws on the books, there's a number of them that govern animal welfare in this state. Chapter 951 deals with crimes. Chapter 174 deals with dogs. Chapter 95 deals with rabies and so forth. There's plenty of laws, frankly, on the books. The encouragement that I wish for everybody is the resource development at the implementation and the enforcement of those laws, which again is broad-based. In some communities, very viable, very active, very engaged, and in others, not as much. With respect to Kathleen's estate wishes, you know, one of the things I would recommend is you find an animal shelter that you care about and you think about putting them in your estate plan. They work hand in hand, oftentimes with municipalities, sometimes under contract, serving as the stray and seizure holding facilities. And so the best way to help implement is to help those shelters out, because it is not a cheap endeavor to take on these animals and care for them during their periods of stay.
And that has been part of your service as well, as you worked with Animal Shelter in Dane County, Joe, as I understand it.
That's correct. Dane County Humane Society.
Joe Good, instructor for the state's Humane Officer Program. And we invite you to join our conversation about what more we can do to help animals in need in our community. 800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our guest is Joe Good, a Milwaukee trial lawyer and an instructor for the state's Humane Officer Program, and we're talking about how to best help animals in distress and what Wisconsin laws say about how we can protect them. And we invite you to the conversation. 800-642-1234 if you have a question for Joe. And Joe, I have a question for you in terms of if I were to see what I might think or worry could be some form of animal abuse or neglect, what would my role be just as a concerned citizen?
So you have a couple options. Obviously, you certainly can and should probably call the police to advise. If you are in a community that does have an appointed humane officer, their information is going to be a public record, and I suggest you start with that person. One of the benefits of the Humane Officer Program that the state created in 1999 is to get people versed in animal cruelty investigations. It's different, right? Every crime is different, but imagine Lee having a situation where you have a multitude of people involved, various interests involved, the owner, various communities, there's a financial piece of this, but how you go about investigating an animal crime is you got to open a door somewhere. And so if you have a complaint, I would suggest it be made to law enforcement, or if there's an appointed humane officer, to that person directly so they can investigate, open a file, and decide what to do.
Do you see gray areas when it comes to the law deciding that there is abuse or neglect happening when it comes to an animal, Joe?
I suppose there are arguments to be made in the situations that I've been involved in, and I've done some work legally for various shelters and municipalities, you know, in what I'll call large-scale seizures. And we're talking, Lee, you know, 60 animals, 100 animals that have been, you know, placed in a situation either because of a hoarding environment or, and sometimes we've done some large dogfighting cases as well. Those cases are a little clearer. There was a story that came out, I think, 2 days ago in Madison about a woman who starved a dog to death, which was reported in the Wisconsin State Journal. You know, that's a clear case. Sure, there are times where the defense will be, well, we were trying to take care of this animal or these animals, and there might be some gray area. So we try to encourage humane officers and law enforcement who are doing this work is you approach it like everything. You investigate, and it should be driven by facts, not emotions or a personality over what you think should or should not occur. Let the facts take you to the conclusion. But oftentimes in these more severe cases, it does appear that they are somewhat cut and dried.
That's Joe Good, Milwaukee-based trial lawyer and humane officer instructor for the state. And there's still time for your questions and comments about our animals, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Mike in Milwaukee, good morning.
Hi. You know, I've been thinking about this lately because of after COVID, everybody had their COVID animals, and then when COVID wasn't a problem, they dropped them off at the local animal shelter, and they're overwhelmed with these animals. So I'm wondering if there can't be a national campaign. LBJ's wife, Lady Bird Johnson, started the Make America Beautiful campaign. They had the Native American with a tear coming down his eye, looking at all the trash along the road. And that campaign was pretty effective in getting people's attention about littering. There's also the anti-smoking campaign that I believe helped a lot of people quit smoking and educated young people to the health hazards of smoking.
And you would put Mike, you would put the mistreatment or neglect of animals on the same level as these national campaigns.
Yeah, it should be a national shaming campaign. So that you're, you know, and I mean, these are living animals, and it's beings, and they're this goes beyond. In other words, it's not endangering your own life.
Yeah, but, Mike, I appreciate where you're coming from, and I thank you for your compassion. And Joe, I turn it over to you. What more can we do to raise awareness for empathy towards animals, and how the more you get to know them, the more you realize, you know, they're not so different than us.
Sure. No, I mean, it's a great statement, Mike, and I really do appreciate your passion toward the topic. And I think he's 100% right. Awareness is a big part of it. I mean, we have an abundance of animals in this country, frankly, in this world. There is overpopulation. You know, most of the shelter practices, standard practices today are when animals are adopted out, you know, they have been essentially fixed.
Yep.
So that we can avoid those types of issues. But at the end of the day, you know, if we're doing our job right, we're never going to have an animal shelter need. But the problem is humans get involved and humans act with respect to animals in certain ways. And as Mike points out, a lot of people take on animals, not understanding the obligations that are associated with it, financial and otherwise. And eventually they're like, well, we don't want to do this. And they wind up back in a shelter environment. So greater awareness, understanding of the aspects of what it means to own an animal, I think is really, really important. Shelters do a lot of work in that space when they're adopting out animals to ensure that a would-be owner understands the obligation. Unfortunately, you know, society has proved over time that is, you know, cruelty is going to be a thing. It's always going to be a thing, regrettably and sadly. And there are these very egregious situations that we need to act on.
Joe, to Mike's point here, in 2022, the Wisconsin Humane Society reported receiving nearly 13,000 cats and dogs. About 5,000 of those animals were stray. For folks who find strays in their community, what's the best thing they can do?
Bring it to your local Humane Society. They are equipped to deal with it. If the animal is behaviorally suited and healthy, and they will work very much on both of those concepts, assuming the animal is truly a stray, and stray is defined in the law as unclaimed and unowned after a period of 4 days, that animal will eventually find a home. All of these shelters, the Wisconsin Humane Society being in my hometown, are wonderful organizations, and they're very, very empathetic, and they are designed and set up to take those animals in. So the best thing you can do is take them there, and they will find good and loving homes.
And the next training session for our Humane Officer program would be this coming September?
Right, that's correct. So for people who are interested in exploring the idea of becoming a humane officer or advocating in their community to become one and obtain an appointment from their governing body, I would suggest that you reach Dr. Yvonne Belay at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection here in Madison, who runs the program and the certification requirements around it.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it.
Joe Good, Milwaukee trial lawyer and the and instructor for the state's Humane Officer Program. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.